Well, this morning, we are kicking off this brand new series called Lost. And over the course of the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at something that all of us have felt in our lives. You see, no matter where you consider yourself to be on this spectrum in your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, the reality is that for each and every one of us in this room, we have experienced moments in our lives where we feel lost. Due to the things that are going on inside of us, or due to the things that we see happening in the world around us, we find ourselves standing back and wondering in those moments, where is God in all of this? And because of what's going on, we find ourselves asking, how in the world could he possibly care about me when all I see is this pain, when all I see is this brokenness, when all I feel is lost? And so, in fact, over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking sort of four different scenarios in our life, or four different things that we see happening in the world around us that make us feel the most lost, and we're going to be breaking those down throughout this series. And because of that, I'm so excited for all of us, myself included, because I believe that this series has incredible potential to speak truth into all of us. But I'm more excited about something else. It's actually a challenge more than anything. Because I think a series like this speaks directly to people who are struggling and hurting and lost and broken. And what I'm willing to bet about each and every one of us in this room this morning is this: that all of us know somebody who's going through that right now. And because of that, this is the perfect series for us to invest in their life and for us to invite them to be a part of what's going on here at Core, because they feel lost, they feel broken, they feel hurting right now, and they need someone, something, somebody to tell them differently. Well, this morning, as we kick off this series, we're going to be looking at this topic, this feeling that we all have of brokenness that we're experiencing. And for me, you know, when I think about this topic, it sort of takes me back to early on in my life. And for those of you who have heard me talk before, what you've probably gathered, or maybe you've heard me say this before, is my household growing up was like the sports capital of the world. In every different environment, in every different room in our house, we had some sort of sports field or sports court that was already set up. In our basement, which was completely unfinished, we had a full-size basketball hoop. The ceiling was only like 7 feet tall in our basement, but we had a full-size basketball hoop cut down, and so there was a full backboard down there, and then my dad actually had a rim, a full-size rim that he took and remolded and had it welded together so that it was smaller, you know, for like those little basketballs that you can win at Cedar Point that are only about this big, so that one of those balls would just fit in there. And so in our basement, we had that. In our kitchen, we had one of those Nerf hoops up. And Mom had this cupboard that had, it was oak, and it had those doors that were like two panels on it, sort of like this. I'm a bad drawer. I'm sorry if you can't visualize this. I was hoping that you could. But those panels, you know, we would take charges on each other. And I cannot tell you how many times we knocked out one of the panels in the kitchen, so much so that my dad had to put little things on the back of it to actually hold it in place, like you'd see on the back of a frame. And we had different places in our kitchen that were marked the end zones. And so we were always doing something with sports. And because of that, what I know is that my mother was absolutely crazy to think that she could entrust one of my brothers to actually babysit me. But I was about 6 years old at the time, and so that would have made one of my brothers about 15. And Mom entrusted him to stay home and watch me while they went out. And so here we were, it was the sports capital of the world, and Mom had probably told us before, I'm sure, you're not supposed to be throwing a football in the house, but as soon as she walked out that door, we concocted some game, and we were throwing the football, we were diving into the couches, making diving catches, and jumping over piles, and all that sort of stuff, and so we were throwing it back and forth, and behind the lamps, and oh, we caught it over top of defenders, and needless to say, in the midst of all that going on, my mom on the coffee tables in the family room. We had a sunken down family room. She had, I don't know, they were like 70s or 80s. They were like porcelain lamps. I mean, literally, they were like this big porcelain, brown porcelain lamps on the table. And go figure, we crushed one of those things with the football. It went right into the defender. Knocked the lamp off of the table, and that thing, this porcelain lamp, right in half. Like, you could take the top half, all there was a cord coming through, and the bottom half was completely separate. And so here we are, I'm 6 years old. We thought the solution to everything was one of two things, because this is how we had always fixed things. Solution number one was duct tape. Somebody says it. And solution number two that we always saw was this special thing that was underneath the kitchen sink that was called Elmer's glue. It was like any little piece that had to be glued back together, you just Elmer glue that thing and it would make it all brand new. And so I got the bright idea for this gigantic porcelain lamp. Let's get the Elmer's glue out. We'll glue that thing, put it back on, and she will never know the difference. And so here we go, me and my brother, we're smearing this glue all over this thing. We set the lamp back together, the two pieces, and then we think, all right, now all we do is we just set it back on the coffee table. We won't get in trouble because she will never know what happened. Well, as you can guess, it doesn't matter how much Elmer's glue you put in there. There's a gigantic crack running around the outside of this porcelain lamp. It didn't take but 12 seconds from the time my mom walked in the door to realize that the lamp was broken and that we had done something that we should not have done. But as we put that Elmer's glue on there and as we attempted to fix this, and we stood back and we looked at the finished product, at 6 years old in my life, what I recognized in that moment was this. There are some things in this life that I am incapable of fixing. No matter how hard I tried, there was no way that I was going to be able to put that lamp back together the way that it originally started. I could gain as much knowledge and expertise, go to as much schooling as I wanted, but once the lamp was broken, there was nothing that I could do to fix it. And the reality is haven't we all felt that way in our life before? Don't we encounter that in the everyday occurrences sometimes? That we stand back and there are moments in our life where on the inside we feel broken. We feel like nothing is going the way that it should. We've made mistakes. We've gone away that we shouldn't have. Things are happening to us that we never wanted to happen. And life is completely broken. But in the midst of all of that, there's nothing that I can do to fix it. We go to that dreaded doctor's appointment. And as we walk in and we hear the doctor utter cancer, we recognize there's nothing that I can do to fix it. Maybe for some of us, our marriage feels like it's in shambles or we're going through a divorce. For some of us, we find ourselves in constant financial stress. And maybe we're experiencing moments of bankruptcy or we're up against foreclosure. Or maybe all it is this. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to scrape the money together to pay the bills I need to pay in order to keep the heat on. Maybe this morning you've experienced a miscarriage. And you've lost something that you've been looking forward to for so long. Or maybe for some of us, you've never gotten to that point before. Because you and your wife have struggled with infertility. And you've recognized that's maybe never going to happen in your life. And with all of these things in our lives, all of these things that we experience day after day, we find ourselves broken, alone, and afraid, don't we? We don't know how to put the pieces back together again. We don't know how to fix that broken lamp inside of us. And when we feel those feelings inside of us, when we feel that brokenness rise up in us, the one place it leads is this. And I know you can all relate to me in this. It leads to a state of frustration. doesn't it? That we feel frustrated because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix it. And in the midst of all of my frustration, where I find myself going is this. God, how could you let that happen to me? You say you love me, but I turn around and I see all of these things happening in my life, and I feel lost, and I feel broken, and I feel alone, and I feel afraid, but you want me to believe that you're there? And all I have is question after question after question. And when we think about ourselves driving in the car, when all you have is questions and no answers, where do you find yourself? Lost, right? You find yourself having no idea where to go next, where the next turn is supposed to be. And sometimes you get so far down the road that you have no idea how to make it right again and get back on track. We find ourselves with only questions and no answers. And the incredible thing is that what I think all of us need to understand this morning is this, that you are not the first and you will not be the last who has felt that in your life. For thousands of years, humanity has been experiencing this feeling of lostness and loneliness. In fact, thousands of years ago, there was a guy named Job. Maybe for some of us in this room, we've heard the story before. But for this man named Job, he experienced a moment in his life where he was up against what I just talked about, where all he had was questions, where he was experiencing hurt and pain and brokenness, where maybe even to a further extent than us, everything in his life had been shattered before his eyes. You see, he just wasn't dealing with his own physical health breakdown. He wasn't just dealing with the death of someone that he loved and didn't know how he was going to live without. He wasn't just dealing with financial pressures and financial stress. No, at one moment in his life, he had all of those things heaped on him at once. He lost everybody that was precious to him. All of his family died, wiped out, gone. Everything that made him wealthy and rich had been taken from him. Every resource that he had in his life to pay the next bill had been wiped out. And on top of that, his own physical health had been deteriorated. He was forced to walk around with gigantic sores all over his body. And in the midst of everything that he saw happening in his life, he felt lost. And all he had was questions. This morning, I want us to read sort of the middle part of this story and check this out. This morning, we're going to start in Job chapter 3. And you can follow along with us as we sort of dive in a few different ways. One of those ways is really simple. It's going to come up on the screen right there. For those of you who want to follow along and maybe jot some things down as we go, I would challenge you to crack open that weekly. And in there, you're going to find a notes page that's going to help you walk through this with us. Or maybe this morning, you have a Bible. That's great. You can crack into that. Or maybe you've never owned a Bible and maybe you've got one that you don't understand. We've got an incredible free resource for you in the back that you can pick up, and it's yours to keep. But this morning, let's jump in here and see these questions that Job presents and these feelings that he's feeling that resonate with each and every one of us. In Job chapter 3, starting in verse 23, it says this. Here's what Job is saying to God. Why is life given to those with no future? Those God has surrounded with difficulties. I mean, that's some powerful stuff right there, isn't it? You see, basically what Job is saying is, why did you ever even bring me into this world? How could God possibly be there in the midst of all the difficulties he surrounded me with? There's no point in even going forward. There's no point in living. I am so lost and depraved. My life is so broken, there's no way the pieces can be put back together. And so I might as well have never even stepped foot on this earth. And then he finishes like this. I have no peace. I have no quietness.
I have no rest. Only trouble comes.
Have you ever been there before? You ever felt that in your life before? You see, this morning, if that's you, what we have a tendency to believe is this. We have a tendency to believe that I'm the only one who feels that. There must be something wrong with me because I'm feeling that way. I look around and all I see are smiles on everybody else's faces. And so what does that say about me? What does that say about what I'm going through right now? Nobody can possibly relate. And what I want you to understand and know this morning above anything else is this, that you are not alone in this. That you are not the only one who is feeling this and experiencing this right now. That you are not the only one who has or who will experience this in your life. You're not alone in this. And the reality is that all of us pretty perfect Christians who oftentimes like to paint the smile on our face and act like things are all okay. The reality is all of us are messed up and we felt broken before too. And we felt lost and we've had these questions creep into our minds as well. We've all been there. We've all felt that way. But the ultimate question that we're all dying to know is this, because what I'm willing to bet for all of us is you're saying, well, maybe for some of us that makes me feel a little bit better that I'm not alone, that I'm not the only one who's felt this, but that's not enough for me. I need something more than that. If I'm going to fix this brokenness inside me, I need someone to tell me how that's done. I need someone to tell me how to fix that, how to heal that inside of me. And above all of that, I need someone to let me know that I'm not alone in this, that I'm not trying to do this by myself. And this morning, I want to take us down the path of what it looks like to get rid of that lost feeling in the midst of the brokenness that maybe you're feeling right now in your life, that you just can't seem to shake, that you don't know where to turn. I want to help us get rid of that lost feeling that at some point in every single one of our lives we will experience when we face the brokenness that happens inside of us. And this morning, I think there's three distinct things that we must do, three steps that we must take in our lives if we're going to find the cure for this lostness in our life. And the cure for being lost is always what? Being found, right? Being found. And so what does it look like for us to go from lost to found in our life? And this morning, I think these three things are so incredibly profound. Three things that God gives us and walks us through to help us in this brokenness in our lives. You see, this morning, if we want to be found in the midst of our brokenness, the lost feeling that we have, the first thing that we must do is this. We must grieve. We're found in grieving. You see, whether you're a Christian or not this morning, I want you to listen really closely. I know we're just a couple minutes in, but if you've checked out already, I want your attention up here because this might be the most important thing that I say this morning that I want all of us to walk out of here with, that I want you to remember when you leave. And it's this one thing. That oftentimes when we look at the brokenness in our life, we have a tendency to believe that good people always have good lives. That good people never experience any trouble. That good people are never upset. That they're never mad. That they're never angry. That they're never sad. That good people never feel alone. That good people always have good things happen to them. And because good people always have good things happen to them, if I don't feel good, if I'm not experiencing good things in my life, what that automatically means of me is this. I'm not a good Christian. Or let's even take it further. I'm just straight up not a good person. And time after time after time in our lives, what we've tended to believe is this. That if I'm going to be a good person, then I've got to put a smile on my face. If I'm going to be a good person, I can't allow anybody to see that anything is wrong inside of me. I can't grieve. I can't cry because good people don't do that. Good people always say, well, God will just work it out the way that he wants to work it out. And while that's all well and good, I want to tell you this. That is completely and utterly unbiblical. That sometimes in our life, we just need to let it go. We just need to let it out. You just need to cry. You just need to grieve. You just need to scream or kick something or whatever that looks like. To be able to work through that and move past that and stop believing this one thing that you know what? Yeah, things might hurt, but I'm not going to show it because I need to be tough in this moment. In the moments in my life where I've told myself, just be tough, it's Ben Carver showing his weaknesses. Because it's not allowing me to move through those instances in my life. It's not allowing me to work through it. It's festering deep down inside of me until one day it will explode. And none of us want that explosion. We have to be willing to say, you know what, right now, I just got to let it go. I'm just going to let it out. I'm just going to say what I'm thinking, say what I'm feeling, and put it out there. Several years ago, I can remember sitting at the dinner table. I was home for a weekend from college. My dad was a couple years into his Alzheimer's journey. What my mom will often tell you is this. She'll often tell you that she was raised by a pack of wolves. And so she was never an emotional person. And in turn, we were never that emotional. And I don't think to that point in this journey of pain and grief and hurt that I had ever once cried about it. But I can remember sitting at the dinner table that night. My dad was sitting across from me, and he was talking to me. He was saying something that he wanted me to understand. And his sentences were incoherent. I had no idea what he was trying to say in that moment. And he kept saying them like he was expecting some sort of response from me. He kept saying that like he understood them in his mind, but they weren't coming out the way that he wanted them to. And I didn't know what to do. I was frozen. I didn't know how to respond back. I didn't know how to escape from the situation. And I can remember in that moment, popping up from the dinner table at 20 years old, running to my room and just bawling my eyes out. Because I didn't know how to fix it. Because there was that moment in my life where I recognized that nothing was ever going to be the same again. And here I was at 20 years old feeling like I was lost. Like I was a young man without a father who wasn't going to teach him how to be a man in this world. And I was broken inside. But up until that point, I had refused to let it go. I had refused to say what I was feeling. And in that moment, I felt like God was just saying to me, Ben, bring it on. I can handle it. What are you holding back for? What are you holding it in for? That's not health. That's not a relationship. A relationship is us talking about everything. You telling me when you're angry, telling me when you're confused, telling me when you don't get it, when you don't understand me. I'm a big enough guy that I can handle that for you. Just let it out. Let it go. And that day was the first day for me in that journey where I finally started to grieve the process. To the point where I can look back now and say that at the time my dad died, one of the best memories I have from the end is the pastor came over after dad had passed away and we were sitting on the back porch. And for like 4 hours, we sat around and told stories and laughed and remembered all of these incredible memories. And I think part of that was due to I had already started the grieving process. I had worked through that in the process. I had let it go, and there was no grief left to be had. And in the moment, that was the most healthy thing that could have happened. For a lot of us, we're holding on. We're holding out, thinking, you know what? A good Christian, a good person just puts the smile on their face day after day after day. But time after time after time, God says, bring it to me. Let's talk about this. Let it out. Let it go. Check this out. In Psalm chapter 18, it tells us just as much. You don't believe me? Take it from here. In verse 6, it says this, but in my distress, in my brokenness, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him, my grieving, reached his ears. See, if we want to overcome our brokenness, we have to grieve what has been broken. And we have to believe that it's okay to do that. And we have to believe that God actually honors that sort of openness. That God actually wants that from us. That he's saying, that's what real relationships are built on. Lay it out. Put it on me. And what I love about the end of that verse is this. It says, my cry to him, it didn't fall on thin air. It didn't vaporize in the wind. It what? It reached his ears. You see, what that tells me is this, that if I want to be found in the midst of the lost feeling that I have and the brokenness of my life, I have to be found in his presence. Found in his presence, knowing that he is there. And I know what a lot of you are thinking right now. Well, Ben, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because if you're saying number two is to be found in his presence, what I'm feeling right now is this. I'm feeling lost, and so that means I don't even know if he's there. So how can I be found in his presence if I don't even know if this God exists? If I don't even know if he cares and loves for me? How can I be found in his presence? And I think this becoming found in his presence really boils down to two incredibly important things. Two things that we have to choose to tangibly do and believe every day that we feel broken. The first is this. We have to choose to believe that he is working to fix it. That he is working to fix it. That's actually what he wants, is to fix our brokenness, the brokenness that we feel inside of us, the brokenness in the world around us, that God is diligently working day after day to fix that in you, and to fix that in me. And what I love so much about this thought of God fixing it is that he's actually the only one qualified to fix it in our life. I mean, think about your doctor. Your doctor learns everything there is to know about the human body. Why? Why do they learn that? So that they can fix it when you're broken, right? And what we know about our God is this. He wants to know everything about you so that when we feel broken, he's the one who's able to fix it. He knows every step that we take, every heartache we go through, so that he can be the one to fix it. Check this out. In Psalm chapter 139, it says this about God. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. God, you know everything about me because you are the ultimate fixer. You are the ultimate handyman for the brokenness in my life. That while I can't fix the porcelain lamp inside of me, you can and you want to and you're working to every single day. The second thing we have to believe is this, that if we want to be found in his presence, we have to believe that he's there in the silence. He's there in the silence. You see, oftentimes in the silence of our lives, when we feel broken and beat down, and things feel silent around us, our natural inclination is this: God's walked away. God can't possibly be there in this. There's no one there. There's no one left. And we hit this freak out moment in our life. Sully is our chocolate lab. And Sully and I, we love to play together. If you ever see me come with scratches on my face on a Sunday morning, it's because I've been wrestling with Sully. But sometimes Sully, as he's laying on the bed, he loves to be covered up with a blanket, but only up to just above his eyes. Now, please don't call PETA on me or anything like that after I tell you this story. But we'll cover Sully up, and sometimes he'll walk around with the blanket, and we call him Mother Mary because we always say he looks like Mary as he's walking around. But then sometimes as we're wrestling around, what I'll do is I'll just completely cover him up with the blanket. I probably learned it from my dad. He used to do that to us. And as I'm there and he's completely covered up in the blanket, now follow me, stick with me, because this isn't all bad. What I know is that as I'm there holding the blanket over Sully, he's perfectly calm. He is absolutely 100% calm in the darkness. But what we've done as an experiment, what I like to do, is oftentimes I'll keep him covered up, and then I'll stomp my foot on the ground like I'm walking away. And in the moment that he hears me stomping on the ground, he freaks out. He's like, get this blanket off of me. I'm all by myself in the dark and all alone, and I don't want to be there. And oftentimes we feel the exact same way, that as we experience this darkness, this brokenness in our life, and we feel like no one is there, that God couldn't possibly be there, that he's walked away in this moment, we freak out. And we find ourselves saying, God, how could you? How could you leave me like this? How could you leave me alone and scared and afraid and broken? And God's saying, you never heard my footsteps. You might be in the dark under the blanket right now, but you never heard my footsteps walk away. Because I don't do that. I never have, and I never will. I've always been there, even when you feel silence, even when you feel darkness in your life. I'm still standing there with you. And what I find incredible about God is this. I think he knew that in these moments of our life, we were constantly going to come back to this feeling of, God, where'd you go? God, why aren't you there? And because he knew that about us, he repeated himself over and over and over again that I didn't go anywhere. I've always been there and I always will be there in your life. That's how much I love you. In the first five books of the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, right at the very beginning, he says this to his people: do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Some of you may have heard it said, he will never leave you or forsake you. Right at the very beginning of time, he wants this to be a reminder to his people that I'm not going anywhere. I'm always standing there. And then what I find really cool is this guy named Jesus, the Son of God, comes to earth. And the very last thing that he says to us on earth is this in Matthew chapter 28. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. And then this one's not going to come up on your screen, but the pattern continues. In Hebrews, one of the last nine books of the Bible, there's 66. He's doing it at the front. He's doing it in his son's life. He's doing it at the end. What does he do? He comes back again at the end, and he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm not going anywhere. No matter what you're going through in your life, you have to trust that I'm right there. And I'm working to fix it, and I'm not going anywhere. in your life. The last thing is this. We become found from the lost feelings we have in purpose. We become found in purpose. You see, this is one of those things that in the hardships of life that I've constantly tried to hold fast to, that I've constantly tried to hold on to. Those times in my life where it doesn't feel good to me, it doesn't look perfect to me, I've constantly tried to remind myself that maybe sometimes it's not about me. Maybe sometimes it's not all about what looks right and what feels right to me. Sure, God can redeem my story, but he can also do incredible things with my story to speak to other people. He can do incredible things with my hardship and with my hurt to impact other people. You see, what if I began to live this way? Because too often I don't. What if I began to constantly ask this question over and over again? What can my brokenness do for others? What can my brokenness do for other people? How can it positively impact their future? What will I be able to speak into their life? How could this be something that's good, not just for me, but for somebody else? Because I know I'm choosing to believe that God works everything together for good, but that doesn't always look immediately good for me. I don't think it ever says that right now it's always good for you, but I'm working it for good for us. Maybe it's for someone else so that you can recognize your purpose in all of this. Check this out. This is why I say this. My favorite verse in all of Scripture is this, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That's incredible purpose. That is incredible purpose to begin to believe that in one way or another, God is working to make your brokenness into something good. Maybe sometimes it's for you, maybe sometimes it's not. And I want you to catch this one last thing right up here. I believe with all of my heart that God has perfectly positioned you with every experience you've had in your life to make an eternal difference in someone else's. Did you catch that? I believe with all of my heart that God has perfectly positioned you with all of the hurt and the pain and the brokenness that you've felt in your life to make an eternal difference in someone else's. I choose to believe that about my dad every day. It doesn't feel good for me all the time. It doesn't make sense to me all the time. But there's conversations that I've gotten to have. There's things that I've gotten to say on this stage. There will be many conversations in the future that I'll get to have. That I choose to believe that God is working that out for the good of their life. And he's giving me a purpose in that. You see, this morning you may feel broken and hurting and alone and afraid, but I want you to know this. Your story isn't over yet. There is no period yet because you're still here. God is still working to do something incredible. He's still there. He's still working to fix it. And even though you might feel lost, he's standing beside you. Even though you might feel lost, he's walking with you. Even though you might feel lost, he's working diligently to fix that. And in the midst of that this morning, are we able to say this, that even when it hurts in my life, God, I'm trusting you. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when I feel broken down and battered, I'm trusting that you are either going before me or you are coming behind me. That you know everything about me. That you are fighting for me. And above all else, I pray this morning that you believe this. I've never been lost. God's always been right there. He's always been a part of that in my life. That God is working today to help you in the lost and loneliness of your brokenness become found. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, whether we've walked into this room this morning presently experiencing brokenness and hurt and pain, and these questions of, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? God, how could you possibly love and care for me? As we find ourselves wandering in the darkness, how could you walk away and leave me by myself? That God, this morning, we choose to believe that that's just not a part of your character. That even though I'm experiencing hurt right now and pain in my life, that you're still there. That you want to help me work through it this morning. And above all else, God, may we choose to believe that I can't fix this on my own. That I'm not qualified. That this lamp inside of me will never go back together again unless I turn it over to you, the master crafter, the one who knows my life better than anybody else. That while I feel like everyone else has abandoned me in my brokenness, you haven't. That God, today, I don't and I won't do this by myself. It's in your name I pray.